नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्यादेशतारणे। Okay, first thing, please don't put the books on the floor. They're as holy as the Bible. So we would ask, in your laps is fine, but not on the floor. Tonight you're going to hear about the person who founded this movement. In 1965, in September, I was 15 years old. And there was a song they were playing. It was the number one song. How does it feel to be on your own? No direction home. How does it feel? And it's quite apropos that Krishna arranged that song to be the number one song in September of 1965. In the summer of 65, everybody was chanting, I can't get no satisfaction. And then the call was, help, I need somebody, help. So I think Krishna heard the cries of the American people and sent Srila Prabhupada to give us satisfaction and to help us. So that event, September 17th, 18th, and 19th of 1965. It has a beginning actually in 1922. At that time, our founder Acharya was known as Abhay. And a friend of his urged him to please come and hear a saintly person. But Abhay was not so interested because he had seen so many of these quote-unquote sadhus and he was not impressed. But his friend urged him, no, you must come. So he obliged. And as he entered the room and as he was offering his respects, even before getting up, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati ordered him, you should preach this message of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. This was their first meeting. Actually, no introduction. Imagine if I told you, I want you to go to Panama tomorrow and preach Krishna. You would think, right? Although you could do it. Yes, he says. Very good. What school is this? Where are you from?
Cal State Channel Islands.
Oh, are you with that? Yes. Very good. These are, oh, very good. You should be giving the class today. Actually, at the end, I will give you the microphone. You can say a few words since you have brought these nice students. Okay? Yes. So from their very first meeting, Abhay was told to preach the message of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So some 13 years, 14 years later, by this time, Abhay had taken initiation from Bhakti Siddhanta. Now his name is Abhay Charanaravinda, which means servant of he who is fearless at the lotus feet of Krishna. When you surrender to Krishna, heart and soul, you become fearless. So, at that time, as it is written in the history, so this is December 1936. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in poor health at Jagannath Puri, and Abhay was in Bombay, and he wanted to write to his Guru Maharaj a letter. And he was thinking, he is a little kind upon me. He will understand my request. So he began to write. So here's an excerpt of the letter. Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. You have got many disciples. I am one of them. But they are doing direct service to you. Some of them are brahmacharis, some of them sannyasis, but I am a householder. I cannot. Sometimes I give monetary help while I can, but I cannot give you direct service. Is there any particular service I can do? Now, this is very instructive for all of us. The relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master is one of service. Service is how you demonstrate love. It's easy to say, I love God or I love you or this. But we have an expression in America, actions speak louder than words. Like there's even a joke, what have you done for me lately? So we demonstrate our love by doing some service. Many times I've been invited to speak at weddings or engagements, and I always mention that point, that what is a successful marriage? When the husband is always thinking how to render the best service to the wife, and the wife is simultaneously thinking how to render the best service to the husband. If the two are always thinking like this, never there will be a question of divorce. The honeymoon will last 50 years, like in my case. So service is the real sign of love. There's even an incident with Srila Prabhupada. He had a personal servant. And one day that personal servant was noticing how all the devotees were chanting and showing so much devotion for Prabhupada. And this devotee was thinking, and he told Prabhupada, I don't love you like your other disciples. And Prabhupada immediately said, but do you like to serve me? And the young man said, oh yes, I like serving you. That is your love. Love is you want to serve that person. That's another song. You've got to serve somebody. You're either going to serve Krishna or some illusory entity. The choice is yours. We say, actually, you have two choices. Serve Krishna or God, or serve illusion. Take your choice, but you're going to serve, because that is our constitutional position. We're simply servant. So after 2 weeks, Abhay received a reply from his guru. Here is the reply. Very interesting. I am fully confident that you can explain in English our thoughts and arguments to the people who are not conversant with the languages of the other members. This will do much good to yourself as well as to your audience. I have every hope that you can turn yourself into a very good English preacher. If you serve the mission to inculcate the novel impression of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the people in general, as well as the philosophers and religionists. So this is just before his spiritual master departed from this world. The letter was, how may I serve you? Here's the reply. Explain this philosophy in English. So that was 1936. I'm reading from the authorized biography. Abai at once recognized this to be the same instruction he had received in their first meeting in what year? Who's paying attention?
36.
No, we're 36. 1922. You get a ding. The teacher is taking notes, if any of them answer. He took it as a confirmation. There was no doubt as to the purpose of his life. What his spiritual master had said in Calcutta in 1922 had not been a chance remark, nor had that been a chance meeting. The instruction was the same. Turn yourself into a very good English preacher. This will do much good to yourself as well as to your audience. So this is another practical point for all of us. We learn from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna clearly says, who is the most dear to him? Krishna, of course, is God. So God says in the Bhagavad Gita, who is the most dear to him? After all, God is a person. You're a person. Do you have feelings? Do you have likes and dislikes? So if God's a person, does he have feelings? Does he have likes and dislikes? Thank you. You are very intelligent. Mark her down. What is your name?
Olivia.
All right, Olivia. You have good potential. So, Krishna says in the Gita that one who preaches his message, the message of Bhagavad Gita, that person is most dear to him. And then Krishna further says, and there'll never be anyone more dear. So, this is why Bhakti Siddhanta is saying, this will do much good to yourself as to your audience. If this clicks, then you realize I must go out and preach because I am benefiting and the people that hear me, they also benefit. And preaching is easy. If I can preach, trust me, you can preach. Because all you got to do is learn what Krishna is saying and repeat it. You are all in college. You're in this special science, biology, whatever. I didn't go to college. Now, if I, with not even a half a year of college, can preach, what to speak of you? You can do it. But that book that you got, you have to learn it. It has to become part and parcel of you. And even if you understand one line, your life is successful. So, listen to your teacher. She is very well versed in this Bhagavad Gita. She also regularly gives classes here in this temple on a weekly basis, right? Twice a week? Well, we should ump that. Should be weekly, professor. So learn something of this Bhagavad Gita and then give it to others. That's it. Just share. I go to one temple. I'm not allowed to use the word preach. I'm forbidden. So I said, okay. So I tell the audience, I'm not preaching. I'm sharing. Words don't hang me up. And you can't control me. I'm too smart. So preaching means to share what you have understood, what you have learned, and then give it to others. Even if all you can say is Hare Krishna. Can you do that? No, wait. I'm asking her. A little louder. One more time, real loud. Very good. Your preaching has begun. Very good. So it's good for you. The medicine is good for you, and the medicine is good for whoever hears you. Be bold. Don't worry. We're still free in America, somewhat. Some other places you won't be able to do this, but it's still America, right? Last time I checked. All right. So that was 1936, just before Bhakti Siddhanta passed away. So from 1936 till 1964, Abhay was constantly meditating on this instruction, but he didn't know exactly how he was going to do it. But he kept that instruction in his heart, and he was always planning, always thinking, how is he going to execute? So here is something that Prabhupada told us about how he was thinking in 1964. He says, I planned that I must go to America. Generally, they go to London, but I did not want to go to London, no offense. I was simply thinking how to go to New York. Forget about it. You can see I'm from New York. So this movement started from New York. Whether I shall go this way, I was scheming. Maybe I should go through Tokyo or this way. Which way is cheaper? That was my proposal, and I was targeting New York always. Sometimes I was dreaming that I have come to New York. So in less than a year later, Prabhupada's desire to execute the order of the spiritual master became fulfilled. He got a ticket, a free ticket, on an India steamship called the Jaladuta. So here's what happened. After a 35-day journey from Calcutta, the Jaladuta reached Boston's Commonwealth Pier at 5:30 a.m. on September 17th, 1965. So for me, this day, Prabhupada arriving in Boston, this is the greatest day for me in American history. Because as Naikatma so aptly said, if Srila Prabhupada had not spent his whole life meditating on the order of his guru, and if he had not, now on that boat, 35-day journey, he suffered 2 heart attacks. Did he give up? No. He still had to execute the order of his spiritual master. So his arriving on that day, September 17th, changed everything. As Naikatma said, if he hadn't done that, there would be no temple. And I know in my case, I would be dead by now. The way I was going in my life, I know I wouldn't have reached more than the age of 30. I discovered this movement at the age of 23. I regret that I didn't find this movement until it was already 7 years. Was it 65 to 73? So some times had passed. I wish I had found it earlier. Everything in my life would have been different. But better late than never. So if Prabhupada hadn't come, who knows how America would have been by now. But to me, that is my Independence Day. That is my Memorial Day. That is, for me, the greatest day in American history when Prabhupada landed in Boston. He writes, as it says, the ship was to stop briefly in Boston before proceeding to New York. Among the first things Prabhupada saw in America were the letters A and P, just like we have Ralph's. So back then on the East Coast, they had these supermarkets, A and P. So that was the first thing. The gray waterfront dawn revealed the ships in the harbor. a conglomeration of lobster stands and drab buildings, and rising in the distance, the Boston skyline. Prabhupada had to pass through U.S. Immigration and Customs in Boston. His visa allowed him a 3-month stay, and an official stamped it to indicate his expected date of departure. Captain Pandya invited Prabhupada to take a walk into Boston, where the captain intended to do some shopping. They walked across a footbridge into a busy commercial area with old churches, warehouses, office buildings, bars, tawdry bookshops, nightclubs, and restaurants. Prabhupada briefly observed the city, but the most significant thing about his short stay in Boston, aside from the fact that he had now set foot in America, was that at Commonwealth Pier, he wrote another Bengali poem entitled Markine Bhagavat Dharma, Teaching Krishna Consciousness in America. So, Prabhupada came here. Now, it said that he had a 3-month visa. And that 3-month visa turned out to be more than a year. Somehow or other, he was able to stay. And it took almost a year. He arrived in September of 1965. He struggled alone without any help in New York City. But finally, in the spring and summer of 1966, this movement, ISKCON, was incorporated. And the first Hare Krishna temple was there at 26 Second Avenue in New York City, the Lower East Side. And that is the birth of this Krishna consciousness movement. Now, Archita, how many temples do we have worldwide? 500 temples, and it all started in a little storefront in New York City. This movement is actually a transcendental movement. Anyone who knows how this movement has been going on, it has to be a transcendental movement, because if it wasn't, materially speaking, we have done so many things wrong. But because it's a transcendental movement, despite our numerous defects and mistakes, this movement is still going strong. And you are now part of it. You're invited. Prabhupada is inviting you to participate in this movement. We hope that you will take that invitation and flourish and thrive. And I saw you looking at something in Bhagavad Gita. Did you see something you liked? But you were opening it. You must have seen something. Pictures, good place to start. The pictures are always a good place to start. See? You're on your way. So I'd like to read to you that poem, because for me, this poem is what rejuvenates me for preaching. I read this poem and I become so inspired. After I read the poem, then Professor will speak a little bit. Can you do that? I will read the poem. So please listen carefully. This is Prabhupada's writing as he arrives in America. It's inspired, and I will try to read it as nicely as possible. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me, but I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, They think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. Can everyone say that word?
Vasudeva.
Students?
Vasudeva.
Excellent. Give them a hand. They did that really good. Really good. The poem continues. I do not know how they will be able to understand it, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you, dear Krishna, are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of your illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he or she will be able to understand your message. One will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion. And thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction. I want to convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. That, right there, is the essence of how a preacher feels. You have brought me here to speak about you. Now it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. Anyone who has gone out preaching can readily appreciate those words. Because when you go out to preach, you never know who you're going to be meeting and how they're going to receive you. One time I was going door to door in Detroit, and I knocked on the door, and there was a guy with a gun in my face. Hare Krishna. So, not to scare you, but you get the idea of what Prabhupada is intimating. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. There it is, folks. This is how I preach, and I encourage you to preach the same way. I can simply repeat your message. You don't have to have big PhD. You don't have to have a big degree. It's not necessary. It's good that you have it. We're not saying don't. But it's not that you have to. All you have to do is repeat Krishna's message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. How am I doing? Great? She said great. Thank you very much. It does good for my credibility. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened. Are you feeling engladdened from today? Good. And thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord. make me dance as you like. And I noticed you were all dancing in the kirtan. Excellent. Come back every Sunday and dance. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. Can you all say that name?
Krishna.
Students.
Krishna.
Everybody.
Krishna.
I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, U.S. of A., dated 18th of September, 1965. Now, I would like for someone to bring this microphone over to your... Okay, it's time. You got to bring it immediately. I thought you were a mystic yogi. All right. So,
put your hand on
Nandini Radha. Feel free to speak as long as you like.